Mick and MJ in the morning, brought to you by Sportsbet. Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet.
Something that went bonkers on the show yesterday morning when one member of the team made the outrageous claim that she puts avocado on her burgers.
Delicious.
Unbelievable.
Un-Australian.
Un-Australian.
Missing out.
You think you know someone and then you hear that.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And you just go and you have a shower and you go, why, why? She's such a sensible girl. Now, MG, you followed it up. You've done this once again on Threads. That's where you go to sort out the big issues. You put this up, did you not, as one of your, what do you call them?
A thread, a poll.
A poll and said, should you put an avocado on? And the results were in. What happened?
70% say no, you should not put avocado on a burger. 30% agree with Kat.
Oh, I thought I might have a win there.
Hang on.
I think you're lucky to get 30%. What? What do you want?
Polls are always wrong. We know that. With elections.
North Pole.
We need to do a worm.
When you won Miss Mudgy, I'm telling you the poll was completely and utterly wrong. Voting. So well done, Australia, and well done, Threads, for sorting that out for us. Mission accomplished. While we're talking food, here's the big story of the day, guys.
Wow.
Apparently, the cavemen were vegans.
What?
Absolute bombshell. Vegans. Yes. Who knew? There they are in all their rock art. They're killing bisons and stuff. But no. No, apparently they just wanted to gnaw on a Brussels sprout.
How do we know this?
Well, there's new figures out.
I've got the details.
Please, fire away.
Analysis of bones and teeth found in a cave in Morocco that was inhabited about 15,000 years ago has revealed that the majority of people during the Stone Age diet ate plants. 80% of their diet was plants.
Oh. Wow. Do you know how disappointing that is to think that some of our ancestors may have died on a celery hunt? it just doesn't feel...
No.
You know what it is? I reckon I'll tell you exactly what it was. Lazy hunter-gatherers.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, let's go out. Let's get a mammoth. You know what? We could just gnaw on some corn.
Can I get some parsley?
So what you're saying is the men were doing nothing.
Yeah, correct.
No,
that's right. What have you gathered? All right, I'll eat that. And sleep in.
Let down again.
Let down again by the men in your life, girls who are asleep at the wheel. Hey, and just quickly, while we're at it, talking about food, this is a story that's making me laugh today. There was a road rage incident in Florida. A 46-year-old man has been arrested for basically in a road rage incident for hurling pasta at another driver.
What?
I'm not joking. He hurled pasta with sauce out the window. Got him. Found food stains on his sleeve after the pasta pelting. This is a terrible road rage incident. In fact, I think we've actually got some audio of the incident.
Dante, mate, you foo silly dickhead, what's wrong with you? Fettuccine you, you almost smashed into my caroni. Spaghetti over here, I'm going to tortellini you a new one, you stupid cannelloni.
Whoa!
Good Lord.
Yes, time to turn our attention to the world of the animal kingdom, which we like to do on this program. Congratulations to Keegan Payne. He's bagged himself $1 million barra up there in the Northern Territory in what has to be one of the greatest tourist campaigns ever launched. $1 million barra. So this fish was tagged, right, and has just been swimming about
nine years ago.
Yep. So, and whoever caught it gets the tag, and the tag's worth $1 million. 19-year-old is one of Australia's latest millionaires. After hooking it on Sunday morning, he's from Katherine, a local from the Northern Territory, caught a 67-metre barra. Unbelievable. This is one of the great stories, and what a character he turned out to be. Let's have a listen to him explaining what it means to bag $1 million barra.
We were freaking out. We nearly crashed the boat. We rang Dad and said we caught a tag barra.
Bullshit. And they go, no, definitely, we got it.
This is more money than we could ever ask for.
It's pretty hard going for us at the moment with money, but, yeah, now with $1 million to help the family out, going to go buy a new boat. A lot of people I used to be friends with that are not friends with anymore, they want to know me now. So.
I bet.
I'll bet they do. Isn't that incredible?
My mate went up for a week. Bobby, he went up for he got back last Sunday. He went up for a week to... because of this campaign. It's as you mentioned, Mickey, it's an unbelievable tourism campaign. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Look, I'm a fan of catch and release, but on this occasion, the chances of that fish being released is... Who's the bloke? Who's at the fishing show?
Rex Hunt.
Rex Hunt.
No, you'd pash this one.
You'd marry it.
How do you catch a million? I'm thinking the fish when they pull it out has got a monocle and a dinner suit.
Yeah. You go,
surprise.
How is that happening? I don't get it. Oh, what do you catch it with? A Louis Vuitton fishing rod?
Yes.
Maybe a diamond sinker? This is one of the all-time great stories. And what's still up there? Who said what? There's still $10,000 fishes
to
be...
Yeah, they released an additional... There's 103 other red tag fish that are worth $10,000. Yeah, so they're still swimming around.
103?
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, just get up there with a stick of dynamite.
I do not do that. I hear a team fishing trip going on.
Oh, how good would that be?
We could do that. Mm. Without question, remember that next time you're buying your orange roughy.
Your leather jacket.
I tell you what, they're getting more expensive these days, but not $1 million. Oh, well done, everyone. Great story.
MG Sport Report.
Breaking news, Jason Demetrio has been sacked by the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
There it is. Seemed inevitable. Been dragging on for about a month. Why did it take so long, mate?
Good question, Mickey. Really good question. I think it's been quite cruel, to be honest, in the way in which it's been done. Yesterday, Jason Demetrio fronted not one, but two board meetings. He was uncertain after the second board meeting. But basically, he's been a dead man walking, I think, for a couple of weeks. Apparently... Here's word in a column I read this morning. I forget who wrote it, but and forgive me for not quoting the writer, but apparently Russell Crowe, before the second board meeting yesterday, sent Jason Demetrio a text message saying, "I've got your back." So I don't know whether Russell's losing a bit of power at South Sydney or what's happening there, but this whole schmozzle hasn't been good for the South Sydney Rabbitohs. They have now put Ben Hornby in as their interim coach. But the big talk, Mickey, and all our listeners, is that Wayne Bennett will be coming back to the Rabbitohs as of next year. The 74-year-old Wayne Bennett, his contract is up at the Dolphins. He is the man they are chasing, and bet you can put your house on that Wayne Bennett will be coaching the South Sydney Rabbitohs as of next year, probably on a 2 or 3 year deal, which will be his last, I would have imagined.
What do they want from the rest of the season, mate? What's the result for them?
Unfortunately for the Panthers, they play them tomorrow night, so... You know what happens when a coach gets
bad
sacked?
Bad timing, absolutely.
They always come out firing. Ouch. So. But look, he's a good bloke, Jason Demetrio, as all coaches are who get sacked. You'd never like to see it, but the results are the results. Souths are coming last. Something had to give. They just went the wrong way about it. That's the only thing. Other sport, right. Mickey, you love this one. Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. Well, their fight that happens on July 20, guess what? It's been sanctioned as a professional fight.
How can that be? And in the heavyweight division, 8 rounds of 2 minutes, and you're calling that a heavyweight fight?
With 14-ounce gloves.
With 14-ounce gloves, you're just making a mockery of your own sport. It's a disgrace.
Will you watch it?
Well, because I might see an influencer get the shit beaten out of him, and that's enough of a lure for me to go. But you, for every other heavyweight boxer out there who trains hard, yes, who works hard, who's a great devotee of the sport, and these blokes are going to go to an AT&T arena with 80,000 people. It's a sideshow. What did you say to me earlier? That it's the greatest age difference by two boxers in the history of the sport?
Biggest age gap between two fighters in the history of professional boxing. 57 years of age, Tyson, 27 years of age, Paul, 30 years an age gap. And you might be talking about this tonight on the front bar with maybe Anthony Rocco.
Anthony Rocco, Sydney Swans star, former Sydney Swans star and Collingwood star, of course. Anthony Rocco will be on front bar tonight, Channel 7, 8:30.
1 year after takeoff, Bonza is no longer giving the big thumbs up.
The entire fleet repossessed on the tarmac this morning as passengers waited at the gate in Melbourne.
I just wanted to get home.
Got to cancel work and plans at home. And
I've got nothing from Bonza.
Discussions are underway regarding the ongoing viability of the business.
There it is, huge news involving the cut price operator. In aviation terms, what do we need to know? What's the latest, please, Tash?
Absolute chaos, as we just heard there, with Bonza cancelling all its flights, grounding its entire fleet, pending discussions on voluntary administration and whether they can continue to operate.
Wow, okay, so at least till the end of the week. When you say the entire fleet, I think there was only like four in the first place, wasn't there?
Shazza, Bazza.
And let's be honest, in aviation terms, they were lemons. Yes. I did once on the tarmac see everyone have to get out and push.
You said that.
With the luggage, they just used to put them on roof racks. That's right. Once, just to get it off, the pilot had to give it more choke.
Oh,
just go, come on, mate! And I saw one. I did see one at the terminal where someone had written "wash me" in the background on all the dust. Had a coat hanger for an aerial. Oh. You know what I'm saying? There was a muffler dragging along the tarmac as it was trying to take off. But anyway, the door was a different colour. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
a
few different panels.
Anyway, hopefully they'll be back after Thursday, and I believe they're still advertising.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, welcome to Bonza Airlines Cobber, where we promise that when you turn up at the airport, we'll make sure your flight has been delayed 5 hours at a minimum, 3 days if you're lucky, change your departure gate to one at a whole nother airport, and then once we do get you on the plane, we'll sit you at the gate for a couple of more hours, not explaining what the f*** is going on, then at long last we'll have you in the air en route to your destination via some other backwater joint, all while having the living shit kicked out of the back of your seat. As for the seat in front of you, even though it has f*** all reclinability, because we've squeezed twice as many seats on the plane, you'll actually be pinned between the two of them. And to finish things off, your luggage will disappear in our warehouse where our ground staff and administrators will rifle through every bag to find anything of value. But don't worry, she's all Bonza, mate.
Wow.
Question without notice, girls, and I want an honest answer to the following. Would you use a urinal designed for women? Oh. So this has been mooted. It's up on blocks. This invention by two British inventors claims to be six times quicker to use than a regular toilet. And they're going to use it, obviously, or wean it in at festivals where in the past, I think we've talked about this, they've had a she-pee, haven't they? Yeah. What's the she-pee, girls? What was that technology?
It's a device that you literally put on your nether regions and then it politely goes in a direction away from you, essentially, is the politest way to put it.
Directs the stream away from your person in a way that makes it easier to navigate your way.
Yes.
I mean, better than a portaloo, right?
Yes.
I don't think the she-wee really took off, did it?
No.
No.
This looks good. The invention looks good from these two girls from England. This looks fantastic.
So describe it to us. Do you know what we're talking about, girls? It looks. What did you say? It looks like a bit of a saddle you sit on.
Yeah, it looks like you're riding a pony, but it's like a saddle that collects, because our biggest problem is splashback if you're ever going to have to be in this situation. Well, this is so horrific to talk about.
Men have a splashback as well.
Not the same as us, though.
No.
Yeah, no, you need like mud flaps or something to... You know what I'm saying? Because let's just say there's a bit of power behind the stream, ladies. You really get it out there.
Now, I'll tell you what, after 6 hours of waiting in the concert, the men's go pretty well too.
How good was the Taylor Swift concert? I've never had it so easy. The MCG, that's where I saw it. Mm. You know, usually the men's toilet's full as a gook. Bang! Straight in for me, I've got to tell you.
Nice.
It was great. Would you give this a run?
No.
No. Tash is a hard.
I would. Because if it cuts down line time, because that's the biggest problem.
Six times quicker.
And because your head's up the top and it's a solo thing, you can't have three women going in at the same time and chatting.
Well, I think we've worked out what Tash. See, that's the other thing that would speed women's baby up at the toilet. No talking. Exactly. What if you had it like what if it was like a library and you just said, shh, and we just got in there. And hey, here's an idea. Maybe don't go there with six of your friends. Why do you have to go together? Like, I never go. Have you ever seen, MG, ever gone to your mates? I'm just going to the bathroom. Would you care to join me? Yeah, why don't you come with me? I'll have a little natter and powder up, you know? It's not happening.
But then you're running to other people in the line and then you just have a chat about stuff.
When you're busting, though.
I want to see you test drive one of these. I don't want to see it, but I would like you to test them. I tell you what, in the women's urinal, don't you reckon the urinal cakes will smell better too?
Definitely.
Yes.
Less sting your eyes, more kind of, we'd be like potpourri.
Yeah. Frangipani.
Ladies, you might be able to use a urinal, but come back and talk to me when you can write your own name.
Be there for the Battle of the Bridge as the Giants take on the Swans.
The Swans are away. The first for GWS. Swans pressure. It never, ever eases. Fires at goal. Green. He's got a couple. The Giants are for real.
This is one battle you won't want to miss.
This is going to be on. It's going to be a ding-dong. This will be the best battle of the bridge ever. Second place, third. No love lost between these teams. There's a bit of niggle in the lead-up, and it's going to go down to the wire. Joining us now is, in my opinion, the greatest player in the league right now. He's the All-Australian captain as we speak. He's one of those players who transcends their own club. Any fan anywhere would love to have him on their team. It's the GWS captain, Toby Green. How are you, Toby?
Hey, boys. Thanks for the kind words, Mick. How you going?
I'm going really good, mate. How are you feeling in the lead up to what is going to be the most anticipated Battle of the Bridge so far?
Good. Excited. It probably is the biggest one so far, and you know, both teams are flying at the moment. So, there's lots on the line, and should be a cracking day. Hopefully the weather holds out a bit, but we'll wait and see.
Absolutely.
Tobes, you've come a long way, mate, since Kevin Sheedy days. You're one of the inaugural GWS members. How's things changed since that first year in the 2011 AFL draft to now in 2024? What's been the biggest turning point, do you think, for the GWS Giants?
Lots has changed. There's not 30 18-year-olds running around Breakfast Point anymore.
Yes.
So, the kids who come in now they're a lot more structured, and they're coming into a professional environment where they know what's required, whereas ours was a bit more of a school camp and just have a bit of fun on the weekend. So it's changed a lot, but it's been for the better, I think.
And as indeed, you've got a cracking coach out there at the moment. You're the flag favourites. I know you don't like that kind of talk, but you're just going to have to cop it because it's like a military operation out there at GWS. Is this your team, MG? It'd be your team, wouldn't it? Two of the biggest names out in the western suburbs. Surely you've crossed paths, or surely they've come at you to support the GWS.
Well, my young bloke, Mav, who's basically trying to make his own mark in rugby league, went to a GWS Giants game about 3 weeks ago. He said, "Dad, it was awesome." I said, "Yeah, I've been to a few games at the Homebush. It's a fantastic atmosphere." I think the thing about AFL, Mickey, is that when you go to a live game, you see a lot more off the ball than you do on TV. I think AFL is a fantastic spectacle for sports lovers. And GWS Giants, of course, they're my team, mate.
All right, now, Toby, we want to get to know you a bit better because it's the first time we've had you on. Hopefully we'd love to have you on a regular basis to talk the GWS up. So we need to get to know you a bit better. So a couple of quick questions right off the bat. What's your favourite film?
Yeah, Man on Fire with Denzel.
He's the best.
Yeah, that's my favourite. Only movie I've watched over about 10 times.
What about you, MG? It'd be Titanic for you, is it?
No,
because you're a Denzel fan.
I love him. I love him. Denzel Washington's probably my favourite actor, along with Gerard Butler. I think them two are great in them action-type movies.
All right. What about your first concert you ever went to, Toby?
I can't remember it off the top of my head, but I'm thinking it might have been Justin Timberlake.
Oh. Justin Timberlake. Here's a bombshell for one of the hardest men in the AFL. He's off to. Were you on your own? Were you on a date? Were you trying to get a route? What was happening?
I might have been with Mum. I'm not sure.
All right. And to take us out today, your favourite. Okay, just say hypothetical. You're on death row. You're about to be. They give you the last meal. What does Toby Green order?
Yeah, I think I'm getting a Diavola pizza, a nice Italian one, wood-fired. I think that's my go-to.
A wood-fired pizza. Are you going to have pineapple on that?
No, hot salami, mate, chili oil, load it up.
Mate. My tummy's rumbling as we speak. Toby, thanks for your time today. We'll catch up with you soon. Good luck. I've got to say, it's a battle of the haves and the have-nots out there too. You've got those prancing showboats down there at the Sydney Swans. And then you've got the real deal out there in the western suburbs who are mean business. They'll come to play. Toby, have a great game and we'll look forward to talking to you about a great win for the GWS.
No, I appreciate it, boys. Thanks for having me. And we'll get a Giants jumper sent to MG, I think.
100%. Yes! Make it a big one. Got you, Toby.
What the f*** is going on?
God, you are dumb.
What the f*** is wrong with you?
Making MJ's what the f***?
WTF?
A man thought it was a good idea to take a sip of his friend's assisted suicide cocktail. What the f***?
What?
Yeah, so the guy's got pancreatic cancer. He's been allowed to end his own life. They've put together a cocktail of drugs that will put him down, for want of a better term. And his mate was there, thought, I'll have a sip.
Why? What an idiot.
Because that's what blokes do. Probably ask for a bendy straw. Can I get some more ice in this?
Little umbrella.
Mind you. That's right. I'd still drink that ahead of a West End. That is the worst beer. Seriously, knock me out. How's that? Is he? Do you know anything that sums up men more than I'll have a sip?
Not really.
No, it would have been like, what does it taste like?
Yeah.
What does it taste like? Jesus, mate. Oh,
it's sour.
All right, you get the idea. Men can be dicks. What have you got, MG?
Finnish police, the Finns, were searching the inside of a car after a crime and they found a dead mosquito. They tested the blood of the mosquito and identified the thief.
Whoa.
What?
Yes. Unbelievable.
So hang on, they milked the mosquito.
Yeah, they found a dead mosquito on around the steering wheel, and they said, "Okay, let's just test the blood of this of the." So his last meal was the thief, and they found the thief.
Wow!
No way, mate! You are ridiculous. You know, if a mosquito bit me, it would end up coming home drunk.
Yeah,
I'd be like.
With a
cabinet. The wife was going to be going, well, where have you been? I went out and I bit Mick Molloy. You're always biting Mick. I don't care. When I come home, I don't need this. What's all the questions about? That would be too much. Can we get that fact checked, please? That they're shaking their heads.
Yeah, they don't know what to do with that.
Tash
is giving it the thumbs up.
Oh, no, I thought that. Sorry.
Yes. Someone give me.
I'm getting thumbs up.
Give me a thumbs up, yeah.
That could be one of the greatest so far.
Also,
you don't get away with much these days. All right, well done. Kat, what about you?
A study found you are more likely to have nightmares if you sleep on your left side.
What the f***? I've been having some shockers lately.
Ooh, are you on your left side?
I'm on one pillow.
Maybe it's because you're closer to your heart that way. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right, MG. It is more pressure on your heart.
There we go.
Mm. When did you get so smart?
I don't know. Something's come over me. I've been bitten by a mosquito, maybe. I don't know.
Right. You've been hit on the head on the way to work or something. That's all. Oh, topsy-turvy. All right, Natasha Belling, you got one?
I have.
What's yours?
You sound excited.
This could go on for a while.
No, yeah. It's so great. I love this story. A German billionaire declared dead in 2021 has been found living with his mistress in Moscow.
What the fuck?
So he went up on a ski lift. Someone
didn't want to pay a divorce settlement. I reckon.
Yep.
He went on a ski lift and disappeared after that.
He went on a ski lift and didn't.
And ended up in Moscow. Well played. You know, that's got to be pretty hard to cop when your partner fakes their death.
Oh, yeah. That's,
to get to go. Remember, it was Olivia Newton-John found out that her partner was seen on at a bar drinking in Mexico. You go, gee, it's not a ringing endorsement, is it?
No.
No, it's not.
All right, let's get into it. Kevin, what do you got for us, buddy?
A bar of gold the size of a matchbox can be flattened out to the size of a tennis court.
What the f***? No. Oh, where are you getting this from, Kevin?
No way, Kevin.
You've gone mad.
I know that you'd think so, wouldn't you? I'm from Penrith,
So it's the size of a matchbox. You can flatten it out.
How?
That's going to be really thin, that gold. What about a squash court? I'll go with squash court.
or a pickleball court.
A pickleball? A billiard table. All right, Kevin, whatever. Vincent's on the line. Vincent, blow my mind.
A Ukrainian student had his jaw blown off while chewing gum.
What the f***? Hang on.
What, did he die?
You mean, I don't understand. It was someone shot him while he was chewing gum.
No, he was chewing gum and it blew his jaw off. He was a chemistry student.
So someone put something in his chewing gum.
He was experimenting with chemicals with chewing gum.
Oh, so he did it himself.
What an idiot.
He blew his own jaw off. Oh, that's at least gets what he deserves then. Doesn't he? Hey, by the way, on chewing gum, here's something I've heard.
Oh, get ready.
That you know when you get earworm, you get a song stuck in your head and you can't get rid of it, because I suffer from this a bit. Chewing gum helps.
Oh.
What the f***? Well, yes. Apparently, if you chew gum, it just takes your mind off it, or it gives your body some other mechanism to... Excuse me, I'm not getting thumbs down from you,
Belling. Is it true that chewing gum's made of rubber? Is chewing gum made of rubber?
This is too...
What the f***?
Someone fact-check that.
No, isn't it paint?
Paint?
Isn't there paint in it or something? No, isn't there?
I don't know.
Something, or horse hoof. Is there horse hoof?
Horse's hoof.
I'm getting no thumbs up.
No.
So when I heard someone broke their jaw chewing, I thought maybe a fantail. You can do it with a fantail. A minty?
Mm-hmm.
A cold minty?
Sure.
Would do the job. A clinker?
Wow, clinker, yeah.
Clinker, that's...
They're big.
Yeah. Well, he's aged.
Or a toffee apple? What about a toffee apple?
You know what? You're not going to take it seriously. It's over. No money today. We're done. Look, I may have been a little hasty to get out of there without giving some money away, because Vincent from Blacktown called up and told us that a Ukrainian student died after chewing gum. Apparently he was in a chemistry lab and was piss-farting around with some chemicals. Mm. What was he trying to do? I think he was trying to make it last longer.
Yeah, he was trying to make...
And he blew his own jaw off. And have we had that fact checked?
We have. He was trying to improve the taste of the gum and instead didn't put it in the right acid and instead dipped the chewing gum in explosives.
Oh, man, I wish I was there that day. That would have... I remember being in chemistry class and saying to have a Bunsen burner, and I said to Jim Smith, I said, "Hey, Jim, come and have a look. There's something wrong with my Bunsen burner."
And go, whoosh.
He came over. He said, "Where?" I said, "Have a look." And as he looked down the barrel of the Bunsen burner, I've turned it on, and whooshka, two eyebrows gone. Oh. And high fives all around for Mickey, it was.
Oh, hilarious.
Well, one of the great moments. But had I been there when this guy blew his jaw off, was he blowing a bubble at least? It would have been fun. Boom.
I'm a bubble.
So So he's Vincent, you're back online. Vincent, that's a very good fact, and it's been fact-checked. I apologise for the shabby treatment you received during What the F.
No, that's all good.
You're probably due for a prize of some description. You want a slab of Jetty Road?
Sweet, that'll be fine, thank you.
All right, and you want a Mick and MG in the morning bum bag?
Yes, that'd be fine.
What else would you like?
Would you like some juicy fruit chewing gum? And I tell you what I'll give you $200, Vincent, just for the fact you've done well, mate.
Go on, Vinny.
Thank you very much. Doctor, give me the news.
I got a bad case of loving you. This has got it all.
Yeah, Doctor, another turbulent day in the name of rugby league. The axe finally fell on Rabbitohs coach Jason Demetrio just before 8 p.m. last night. Mate, how did this unfold yesterday, and where to now for the South Sydney Rabbitohs as far as the coaching goes?
Yeah, good morning, guys. As you said, MG, we spoke about it last Friday, how a board meeting yesterday would determine the fate of Rabbitohs coach Jason Demetrio, and that was certainly the case yesterday. Rarely have I seen two board meetings in one day to decide the future of an NRL coach, but that's what happened at South. Yesterday morning, several hours were spent. They couldn't come up with a decision. They then recommenced another board meeting around 5:30 yesterday afternoon, of which concluded at 8 o'clock with the termination immediately of Demetrio's contract at South Sydney. And that has prompted the elevation of our assistant coach, Demetrio's assistant coach, Ben Hornby, into the interim coaching role for the remainder of this season. Look, it's an interesting dynamic now, MG, and that is Ben Hornby formerly worked under Wayne Bennett, and Wayne Bennett is the primary target now for a South Sydney club, MG, that I believe is screaming out for an experienced coach to take control of this playing group and lead them to where they should be going, and that's to the top of the NRL ladder with that type of roster. It's going to be interesting now, the next movements. Bennett has always said he doesn't want to move to a club while ever the current coach is in vogue, and that was the case with Demetrio. He's now gone, and it paves the way now for South Sydney to go hell for leather for the super coach. Look, it's been a very, very turbulent time for the South Sydney Footy Club. I think it could have been handled better, but at the same time, they've now made the decision, and I think for South fans' sake, they just hope that Ben Hornby can have some type of impact, albeit, MG, just 24 hours out from their next match against the Penrith Panthers.
Yeah, well, you know what they say when that interim coaches they come in, they always have a bit of luck. So let's hope for the Panthers' sake they don't. But, look, you never like to see a coach punted mid-season, but the results are results, aren't they? Another club searching for wins, Doctor, is Parramatta. Now they have their inspirational leader, Clint Gutho-Gutherson, out for an extended period of time. What's going on? Tell us more on who will play fullback in his absence.
Yeah, MG, it's a significant blow, no doubt. Another football club desperate for win is the Parramatta Reels. And Clint Gutherson, it is a bye week for the Eels. They aren't due to play this weekend. And so they saw it as a window of opportunity for Clint Gutherson to go and get this knee issue that's plagued his season. Go and get it corrected. He's had an arthroscope to clean that knee up, of which, as I said, it's just been ongoing certainly for the last 3 weeks. He's gone for the next 4 to 5 weeks, MG. It's a significant blow. Look, Blaise Talangi, Sean Russell, Bailey Simonson, they're all being suggested as fullback options at this point in time. But it's a huge blow. Just real quickly, MG, it's an important day for Mitchell Moses. He's off to see a specialist on his fractured foot in an attempt to come back earlier than his original return date of round 12. Wow. If he gets the all clear, he could shave at least another week off that return date, which would be a huge in for the Parramatta Eels.
For what it's worth, I'd put Dylan Brown at fullback and just let him run. Anyway, that's my 2 cents on that matter. But, Doctor, as always, brother, thank you so much for your time. We can't wait to read all your stuff in the Daily Telegraph. See you on Fox Sports and hear you on Triple M, mate. You're a busy man. Take care.
Thanks, MG. Anytime, mate.
And we've been joined live in the studio by friend of the show, Merrick Watts, who's just got back from Hobart.
Yes.
Hello, Merrick. Wait, you ran into one of Kat's friends, did you?
I was in an Irish pub in Hobart because there wasn't any in Sydney, so I had to go to Tasmania to find one. There's literally one across the road from Triple M.
Yeah, sure.
But went there and I was having a Guinness, a quiet Guinness with my mate, and this girl came up. She could only be described as one of Kat's best mates and also described as a total cougar. And just saw me at the bar, thought that I was a wounded gazelle, and I was like, no, I'm just having a Guinness. And she said, I can smell the injury. And I was like, no, I can still escape. Before I knew it, she had sunk her claws into me and tried to drag me to the ground. I said, I've got to leave. And she said, I'm one of Kat's friends. We all operate like this, so does she. And I was like, this is outrageous.
And she's a lawyer, so she's going to have your tongue.
You're cooked. Now, did I hear that you also used the toot, the oldest toot in Hobart?
This is insane. Right? When I was in Hobart, I went to this bar and I was sitting at the bar with my mate. I turned around and behind a big piece of glass, like literally only a metre away, there's a dunny, like a long drop. And I went, that's kind of a weird place to have a dunny inside the bar, 1 metre away from where you're drinking. And nobody said anything. Nobody in Hobart. Like, we were talking to the staff and having a couple of drinks. And at no stage did anybody say, oh, yeah, by the way, don't be scared that there's a massive crapper right next to you. Like, they didn't think to tell us. So after about an hour, I went, I've got to ask. I said, sorry, I just wanted to know, what's the long drop doing right next to you?
Yeah. Sure.
And behind a
fair
glass.
Question.
And there was no plaque or any reason for it. And they said, that's actually the Southern Hemisphere's oldest flushing toilet. And so we've put it behind glass. And I said, well, if it's the oldest flushing toilet in the Southern Hemisphere, I reckon that you should probably remove it. Is what
at least get some toilet duck.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Or something.
It was pretty manky. You could see there was like, even now, like the wooden bench and the hole cut in it, you just go, oh, there's some suspicious looking stains too.
But no one goes and sits on it while you tap the glass, right? There's none of that going on. Did you hear today, this is a true story, today they're developing the woman's urinal.
I heard you guys talking about it. And Kat said it was like riding a saddle or something like that.
Yeah.
Or
getting straddled or something. Straddle or saddle?
Okay.
I don't know what you said.
Jeez.
If you add a T, that makes it different.
Like riding a saddle.
Oh, I thought we should have a straddle.
Oh, jeez.
Sure, I mean, I just thought they were going to a festival, but it's clearly a German festival that they're going to now. So it's like, let's come into the bathroom, put the bib into your mouth, put the boil into your mouth, and then go in there and use the urinal. And they go, I don't know, Klaus, this sounds sus to me, to be honest. You've got a saddle in the bathrooms, and you want me to put a ball in my mouth?
Pulp Fiction now. What are you talking about?
Oh, what about the Pope? Well, you know what we need? Something like the Pope's testicle chair. I love that testicle chair.
What's he got a testicle chair?
Oh, I didn't hear about this. So the Pope has a testicle chair that when you get a new Pope, they have to sit on, right? And then a couple of blokes, you know, like the hoist at a mechanics?
Yes.
So there's a big, this is like your long drop, and the Pope sits on the testicle chair and everyone comes in and looks up to make sure he's got testicles.
Yeah.
Because they do a stock take. Because this is all because of Pope Joan. Pope Joan back in the day turned out to be a chick.
Yep.
Who could have used a sheepy or the female urinal, as it turns out. So now they've got the testicle chair, which the Pope has to wander off to, probably with some reading material under one arm.
Yeah, or an iPhone. Yeah.
Really? Surely there's a better way of doing that. How about you just ask some of his mates? I just go, sorry, I just wanted Pope Clement, he's a mate of yours. Has he got knackers? Yeah. He used to play footy with him. Saw him a few times. Oh, my God. Yeah. He can do a wristwatch hamburger that you've never seen before in your life.
The Pope's done a wristwatch. And the Pope has to write his name in wee. Pope John Paul. All right, you're in.
You're in.
Merrick Watts, friend of the show. We know he's an avid outdoorsman.
Oh, yeah.
Someone caught $1 million fish up at Katherine. I know you fish. How good would it feel to catch $1 million fish?
Oh, it was amazing. I love the young bloke who won it too. Like he was chuffed, but he was still like in control. His thoughts were collected. They said, you know, what are you going to do with $1 million? He said, I'm going to buy a speedboat and a car today. And I was thinking, mate, I reckon they're going to want to process. Yeah, I reckon they're going to want to process them. I don't reckon there's a guy standing behind you with a duffel bag full of cash, but, you know, good luck to you. You've already figured out how you're going to spend it. Awesome.
That's
well
a
done.
Great day. It's a great day at the river, though, isn't it? You go down with your rod, you haul one in. I'm guessing catch and release is off the table, isn't it? No. You're keeping that one.
Oh, 100%. You turn that into Billy Bass. But also, too, like, it was a great fish anyway, too. Like, good-sized barrow. You would have been wrapped if you got that without the $1 million, but the $1 million
67 centimetre, even by Northern Territory standards. That's a fair old fish. You had an incident in the river when you were a kid, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I go camping. I haven't been as much recently, but I went camping recently. In Robe in South Australia with my brother and the boys. It took my son. My brother had his son and a few mates, and we went in a convoy of four drives, and we're just like, you know, let's just go through the sand dunes around Robe in South Australia, because we'll never ever get bogged. 10 minutes later, bogged.
Bogged in Robe? There's nothing but sand.
I know. There's a sand there. We went, no, we'll be right. Just drive through. And if it's going, yeah, we'll be right. Just drive through, because this car only weighs 5 ton. We'll be fine. So there's Merrick with a shovel 45 minutes later digging out the back axle, just going, this is what fun is about, son. Son! Take a photo of Dad digging out a car. He's having the best time of his life. Digging out a car.
Oh, well.
But, you know, it's...
That's camping for you.
Not as bad as my old man, though, boys. One time I went... The first time I went camping with my dad it was a really, really cold winter, and we're out, God knows, in the middle of nowhere in a river, camp by a river. And Dad made my brother and I was probably only about 8 or 9, he made us swim across a freezing cold river. And he goes, don't be soft, get across the river. We're gonna go and get some firewood. And I went, why do we have to swim a river to get firewood, Dad? Sure, we can just cut. There's forest everywhere, you idiot. Anyway, so we went to go swim the river. Halfway across it, I got swept away.
There you go.
I got swept away. By the time they got
this has hypothermia
me,
written all over it.
Yeah, they had to run along the riverbank and then reach out with a branch and catch me. It was like you'd hear the banjos. I was about 500 metres down the river. They got me out. I had hypothermia. I had full-blown hypothermia. I nearly died. And Dad said, see, you did really well there, son, but don't tell your mum.
don't tell your mum was a catchphrase when I was growing up. Don't tell your mum. Whatever you do, that was a dad's special relationship with his son.
Yeah, but I can tell you the reward for it, though, has it stayed with me forever, because I said to Dad, I won't tell mum, but it's going to cost you a can of Coke, four fried dim sims, and a bucket of chips, and that's what I ate on the way home. And I went, I won't tell mum. I've got dim sims to eat.
And that is how the system works. Yes. I'm afraid, mate, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you. Now, you'll be in town for the Sydney Comedy Festival, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I'm in, out about. I'm doing An Idiot's Guide to Wine Volume 2 at the Grand Electric in Surrey Hills for every weekend in June. In June, I'll be performing there.
That's Saturday, Sunday in June, every weekend.
10 shows only. And then that'll be it.
Here's a proper date with one of the best in the business. Good on you, Merrick. Thanks for swinging by today.
Thanks for having me.
Take it easy, my man.
Mick and MG in the morning. Brought to you by Sportsbet. Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet. Mick and MG in the morning. Weekdays from 6 on Sydney's Triple M.